I thought you were leaving, Father Amal.
That won't be a joke.
This is not going to be that painful.
I have to put up with your homily. Just kidding.
It's my turn now. So a guy had not been to church for a long, long time, and he decided, well, maybe I'll give it a shot. So as he entered the church, things really seemed different. Well, he hadn't been there for a long time. That figures. And so he looked at a bulletin there, and he picked it up and saw that confession was going to start in just a few minutes. So he said, I'll go into the confessional, and I'll just wait for Father. And he got in there, and here on one shelf is a whole bunch of Irish crystal, beautiful glasses. And under that is a shelf full of the finest wines and the rarest whiskies. And under that is a shelf of beautiful chocolate and snacks. And just then he saw the priest coming, and he said, I haven't been here for a long time, but he says, this has really changed. I got to come here more often. And the priest said, you moron, you're on my side. That's a joke. Maybe we should go and check it out. Today's gospel is one of the most powerful teachings of Jesus, meant for his disciples, because soon he'll be gone and they're going to have to carry on the mission. But that proclamation, that teaching of Jesus comes directly to us today, showing us the way to eternal life. You have to feel for this rich man, though. I mean, he's apparently fascinated with Jesus, and he wants to find out what Jesus has to offer. So he throws himself down, and what can I do for eternal life? How can I do it? And now he's a good guy, and he checks all the boxes. You know, he goes to the synagogue regularly. He gives alms to the poor. He keeps all the commandments. Covers all the bases, right? Are we like that sometimes? Checking the box? Then comes the hard news. But that's just the start. He says, go sell everything that you own and give it to the poor. Well, you know, that's kind of difficult. So he went away sad because he had a lot of possessions. And then he began to realize that his possessions possessed him. And then he kind of had a change of heart because he was really into what Jesus was saying. And that's the end of him, right? Well, the gospel doesn't say that. It says he went away sad. I'd like to suggest another scenario. On his way home, he began to realize his situation and how he was really not really the master of his possessions, but the slave. And so his heart began to soften. And when he got home, he told his servants, he said, sell it all and give it to the poor. And then he beelined trying to find Jesus. And when he found Jesus, Jesus embraced him and welcomed him. And he felt great freedom and great joy. And that option is open to all of us. That's what Jesus is offering. Having wealth is not automatically condemnation. And being poor doesn't automatically open the gates for heaven. When we think of possessions, you know, when we think of security, power, control, independence, you know, the good life, when we think of all of that, the more we have, the harder it is to give them away. And very shortly, our possessions begin to possess us, and we become slaves to them. You hear stories about people who have won the lottery, and before you know it, the money's all gone, and their lives are ruined. Think about that. We can think of our talent, you know, and our health and our time that we spend watching TV and iPhones, Facebook, Twitter, sports, that we could give and really be able to help those in need, our brothers and sisters. makes me think of a perfect example in our own parish. In the early 80s, Roscoe and Carol Roberts were, some of you know them, they were retired, and of course they had a lot of time on their hands and some good energies. And around the 80s, the early part of the 80s, the first wave of the Hmong immigrants began to come to Appleton. And the Roberts sprung into action, using their time and talent and their ability to organize and to get resources to help them get settled. And that meant meeting them at the airport, furnishing them with transportation, getting furniture for them, getting food in their cupboard, helping them getting jobs, helping them get a car, introducing them to all the city services, getting them set up with everything they needed. Later on, they even had a large used clothing store in their basement, not a store, but a closet in their basement where they could come and get whatever they need. That's just one story of a lot of people in our own parish that are like the Roberts. There are many kinds of poverty all around us where we could use our wealth. And what a joy it is to be in a parish that so generously gives, and really the wider community that's the same way that we address poverty. Citywide, excuse me. I have to go to the confessional and get some of that whiskey. I was on the board of on the original board of Levin, and that was an organization that wanted to consolidate all the small efforts in the city, faith-based, and try to make a greater resource for the needy. Well, today Levin has a huge facility over on Medway Road. They have a warehouse of food, a huge warehouse of food and supplies, large clothes closet. They have served 130,000 needy people in our community. Then there's help with expenses like, you know, security deposits, rent, gasoline, auto repairs. Because the greater community has come together and liquidated their possessions for the poor. So, if a person risks everything to help the needy, what assurance do we have of God's approval or eternal life? Would we just have to keep trusting him and follow Jesus? All we would have is Jesus. Would that be enough? Is Jesus enough for us? We have his word on it, and he delivers.